Today I would like to talk about the Mormon Church. And you told me before that you've been involved in the Mormon Church about 62 years, is that correct?
Yeah, 1941.
Okay. What I'd like to know specifically today, though, is about the building.
The old tabernacle?
Yes.
That was built in 1906.
Okay.
And my grandfather was living here then. But they moved away and went back to southern Idaho and bought a ranch down there. So I wasn't active in the church here until I moved back into Valley and married my wife in 1941.
Okay. What do you know about that early church history?
Well, early church history, as far as I know, there's been Mormons here for a long while. The church sent two different groups in here to help colonize the valley, I think. They raised sugar beets out around the county shops is now. That's the old Mormon, where the Mormon sugar beet factory used to be. And I think that's the location. And then they owned a lot of property out around Basin Mount and everything like that. And then the little town of Nibley, I don't know if you ever heard of it or not.
I have not.
But it's just, you know, you come from Cove, go across the Catherine Creek and go up on top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right down on top of the hill is a monument. And Eagle Scout here in town put it up a few years ago. I helped him and Elmer Perry cement it in. But there's a little town, Nibley is the name of the town. And
was that N-I-B-L-E-Y?
I think so.
Okay.
Nibley. Anyway, they shipped a lot of people up here from Utah and bought the land and then let them buy it from the church. I think that's the way it worked. I'm not sure. But they had a church in Cove at that time, or the town of Nibley.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, when the valley grew, and headquarters, it was Union and then came to LeGrand, the church members moved out all over the valley and became part of the rest of the wards of it was known as the Union Stake then. It's now known as the LeGrand Oregon Stake.
Okay.
But see, a stake takes in at least six to eight wards.
Okay.
And when they get over eight wards, well, they usually divide them. When they get over 12 wards in a stake, then they divide it. But this stake is so big now and so scattered that they can't get enough to make two stakes out of it.
Mm-hmm. So where was that building when the church moved to LeGrand, where was the building located?
Right where they built it in 1906. Well, they had a little church down on, it's still there, down on where the church library is now. That church was there, and then they had one up here.
Okay.
But when they built that tabernacle, that was about 1906.
Okay.
My wife can tell you more history than I can.
Okay.
When did they build the new stake center, huh? 80s?
Well, it was after 65.
Well, yeah, I know. I thought they built it.
They were working on it then, but couldn't tell you the date.
I can't either. I can't think of it.
So the building where the Observer is now, is that where the first building was located?
Is that the first chapel in Daniel LeGrand?
Where it is now?
No.
Where the Observer is, as far as I know, that was the first, and that was
an older building
that's been used
for
1906.
Okay. Now, did you attend that one?
Yeah,
I mean,
it was in the first
one. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me more about what that building may have looked like?
Where's the picture of it, huh? Have you got a picture handy of the tabernacle?
We've got one, but don't ask me if it's handy.
Okay.
We've got such a stack of albums, I have no idea which one.
Well, we can add in the photo later.
Yeah, well, they've got a record of it set the newspaper on.
Okay. Do you recall what it was like on the inside?
Well, it was, I think, seat over 500.
Mm-hmm.
But it had a huge balcony that went all the way around on the inside of it. And it had an organ. And in fact, the organ is in this new building up here now, but you can't see it like you used to up there. It had pipes out in front.
Oh.
I think there were 17 pipes around the front of the back of the stage on it.
Mm-hmm.
There was only 5 or 6 of them that played. But it now, the same organ, when they rebuild it, they put it in this building up here. The priest had said they wouldn't build another building unless they put that organ in it. They had to change the plans on the building to get the organ in because mm-hmm. it was too big.
So did you hear the organ often then?
Oh yeah, it's been part of the church. The big organ up there has pipes in it, 8 inches square and 20 feet high.
Wow, that must be a magnificent sound.
It is. You can just make that old building go like this with it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never played it, but my wife has, but I never played it.
So only a few people could play the organ?
Well, you have to have a calling to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to know what you're doing with it.
Right. Is there anything else about the inside that stands out to you?
Well, we had huge glass windows on each side of it. And that's part of the, then when they tore it down, we saved all the glass in it.
Mm-hmm. Was it stained glass? Or?
All stained glass, mm-hmm. yeah. Big windows all over. Well, they were 10, 12 feet across in each side, each end of the main auditorium.
Do you have any idea where those may have came from originally?
No, they were made for that building.
They were made for that?
Yes. There's another building just like it if you ever happen to be in Ogden, Utah.
Mm.
But it was patterned after that tabernacle down there. But we always called it the tabernacle because it had a basement under it where one church could meet. And the other church could meet upstairs. Two wards could meet in it. They could meet at the same time.
Oh, I see.
And they had classrooms downstairs. And then over in the recreation hall behind it, we had the first big basketball floor in this town.
Oh.
In fact, when this college, first basketball this college played, they played in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't have any basketball courts.
And it was a full-sized court?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. full-sized, and had a balcony around it where you could set people and they could watch it.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have big golden green balls there every year. And they were the social event of the town as far as dancing is concerned. Because
mm-hmm.
we put on a floor show, informal ballroom dancing every year.
Mm-hmm. And that was called the golden green
ball?
Why gold and green?
Well, that's the young people's colors. Gold and green, all their decorations were that way.
You mean at the school? It was their school colors, or the church has its own colors?
The church had its own gold and green.
Okay.
Young people's organization.
Mm-hmm.
They don't use the gold and green anymore. In fact, they don't have gold and green balls anymore.
When did that stop?
Oh, during World War II, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know Virginia and I danced in the Golden Green Ball in 1941.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the dance couples.
Were there cooking facilities in the first church?
Oh, yeah. In the recreation hall, that's the kitchen. And they held whole banquets on the basketball floor all the time. We used to have lots of meetings there, you know, where the whole state would come in, have dinner there, and like that.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of fun, lots of programs, lots of entertainment.
In what ways do you feel the Mormon Church was significant to this county in those days?
To the town? It was the social center All the piano recitals and like that were put on in the tabernacle. And you know, they'd have pianos come in and they could put 600 people in there. They used to have those recitals.
Now, were these recitals exclusively for people of the Mormon faith, or were they for the whole community?
They opened the whole town was invited to those.
Okay.
All of the activities, lots of activities went on in the Mormon tabernacle for the whole town.
Okay.
Because it was the biggest hall in town for them to get into.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have the piano recitals anymore, except the college.
Right. How many services were being held in that building?
Oh, there was two boards and one stake meeting. That was the headquarters for two boards, first and second board and the stake, the same as this building up here, you see. It's for the first and second ward and the stake.
Mm-hmm.
The stake holds all their meetings in there, usually Sunday afternoons or something like that, but it's big enough. They have their own area to use, and then the wards use the classrooms. And, and they just keep swapping rooms around for the wards. In fact, they've got three wards in there now. We have a youth ward.
Mm-hmm.
But they meet early in the morning, see.
Do you know why the building was changed?
Well, the building was old, 1906, and the church didn't want to keep it up. They wouldn't remodel it. And they wanted to build a new one like this, but this was a style of the church they're making all over the world now. This one up here was similar to this one. And they get one style of church, and I forget how many thousand churches there are now they've got throughout the world. But I know churches advanced, so has exploded in population in the last 20 or 30 years. So when I can remember when it was just a million members in the world.
A million?
Now there's 9 million.
Wow. That's quite a change.
Close to 11 million now.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest growth is outside the United States.
Mm.
And there's more Spanish-speaking people in the church than there are English-speaking now.
Wow.
And Africa is just exploding over there. They're just I don't know. I think we got three temples and three or four in Africa now.
Mm-hmm. So this was, the new one was built in the 80s?
I think 70s or somewhere like that.
Mm-hmm. I want to back up just a little bit. Can you tell me about some of the activities that you were involved in the old church?
Well, nothing but mutual. I was mostly a mutual, working with young people.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the church was one of the first churches to join the Boy Scouts of America. And we sponsored, each ward sponsors now, still sponsors one scout group.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked all the time. My boys were, from the time they were in Cub Scouts until they went on their missions, well, I worked in scouting.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time I was an explorer advisor for the boys, 12 to 17.
Mm-hmm. Did you teach Sunday school?
Pardon?
Did you ever teach Sunday school?
Yeah, at that time I had to teach because I was Sunday school president. I was over the Sunday school for 8 years.
Oh.
In town, in the first ward.
Mm-hmm.
But then they pulled me out of the ward and put me in the state Sunday school presidency. But I served longer in the mutual young people's state organization than in any other office I've held.
Mm-hmm.
That was the state MIA, the young people's organization. And our state then ran from halfway to Pendleton.
Mm.
And we visited every ward every month. We those of us who were over the mutual, you know, had a president, you know, first and second counselor and secretary, and the women's and the men, and we would go visit the wards and bring them any new programs we had or any new ideas that we'd have to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was a teacher development director for about 6 years in, on the state level.
Mm-hmm. Were there other buildings in the county?
Oh yeah, the Union has one.
And there's a building in Union?
Yeah.
And when did that become in existence?
That's where she was born and raised. Virginia? I don't remember when it was dedicated. I was here around here. She was only about 10 or 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So it's been around quite a while.
Yes, that building in Union. Have you been down the street in Union?
I haven't.
Mm-hmm. I drive down the street. It's like cut a corner across from Methodist Church,
mm-hmm.
that big stone church there. In fact, we helped build, my wife and I helped build the recreation hall on the back end of it.
Oh.
And she was pregnant with our oldest son.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in Union that year.
So you did attend the Mormon Church in Union as well then, when you lived there?
Yes, when we lived there, yeah. That's why I joined the church in Union.
Can you tell me any more about that building? About what it may have looked like inside?
Well, that one over there.
The one in Union?
Oh yeah, it's a nice little chapel. It's made of stone. And it seats over 200, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it has two aisles at the side, stage in front. And behind the stage is the bishop's office. And that's what you see when you go by, is around the building, that's the bishop's office there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a basement underneath it with classrooms. Or in the back you've got a recreation hall, full-size basketball floor with rooms under that, classrooms under that.
Mm-hmm. Is it typical to have a recreation facility in the Mormon church?
All churches have. Most all churches have a recreation hall. Because they teach dancing there. They used to teach dancing. They don't teach anymore. Everybody just gets out in the woods. But kids don't know how to dance now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see even ballroom dancing is not ballroom dancing as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I used to teach ballroom dancing. No, I love it. I really love to dance, but I can't do it anymore. My wife's back won't stand it.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever teach those dance classes in the Grand?
No. No. That was when I was younger.
Okay.
I was working. My mother's cousin owned a dance hall. That's how I got into dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a job working with them, checking hats first. My sister and I always danced together at home and at school dances and all like that. So when I got into high school, I was a good dancer and I really enjoyed it. So I went right on up there. I went with one girl who was a tap dancer one time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we had a lot of fun tap dancing. As you dance ballroom dancing, you tap everywhere.
Uh-huh.
I've stopped the floor two or three times. People watching us. But it was fun.
As you think about your years living here in Union County, what would you say are some of your most memorable experiences here as far as maybe events that happened in LeGrand or in the area that stand out?
The flood we had here was the most fun.
Okay. Can you tell me more about the flood?
Well, we had January, I believe. I'm not sure when it was. I can't remember what year it was, but 60 years or somewhere in there. Anyway, we had a foot of snow. It snowed real heavy. It was wet snow. Just everywhere. Piled up a foot on top of the old snow around here. On the hills and everywhere around here. And it snowed all night and all day. And I think another night, we had a foot and a half of snow all around town. And the hills were just loaded with it. and it came a warm Chinook rain on it.
Wow.
All of eastern Oregon. You can imagine what the snow at Anthony Lake is 10 foot deep at that time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Grand Round River, all the way up the Grand, everything in the Grand Round River, that same warm rain hit it. And it just come down like that. This creek going to Mill Creek,
mm-hmm.
was running right around that garage across the street. It never got up on my place here. But the valley, you know, only drops 15 foot, I think 12 or 15 feet from where the river comes in here until it goes out of Elgin. All that water came down from all around the valley. It couldn't get out of valley.
Yeah.
Forget how many thousand acres is underwater. Like over half the valley is underwater.
How did the community respond to that sort of a disaster? Lifted their pant legs?
Waited. I went up, there was water running right down Adams Avenue. I'm mm-hmm. over the curb right up into my store. I put sandbags at the door to keep the water running out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Came right down Adams, run all through this trailer court over here. It wasn't a trailer court there then, it was just a pasture.
Mm-hmm.
But
were the businesses forced to close?
They was all busy pumping water out of their basements.
Mm-hmm.
Because the sewer come right up in the basement. I went down my basement and plugged mine solid so the sewer couldn't come up in it. And then I had to mop up the basement and clean it out.
Mm-hmm.
But quite a day and a night.
I was just going to ask, how long did it last?
Well, we was fighting the water in town all night, keeping it out of businesses and like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a typhoid scare after that. We had to go to Union to get shots for this typhoid or something like
that. Was that because of the water coming up and getting in with the sewer?
Well, in the surrounding area, our water service was coming from the lake up here then. And we didn't have the wells in time to do now.
So then you were vaccinated for the typhoid?
Yeah, I think it was typhoid. My wife and I were talking about this morning. And we had to go to Union to get these shots, because I guess the time it was, didn't have the serum or something, I don't know.
Now, did everyone have to go to Union, or just, there was so much available here, and it ran out, and then you had to go?
And I guess we used the area that went to Union. But that was when our boys were just little guys.
Mm-hmm. So, did they cancel school?
Well, yeah. Buses don't run in that much water.
Right. So everything was closed down.
Yeah, it was just, everybody was just wondering how high it was going to go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just didn't know how deep the water was going to get.
What kind of damage do you think was done to the area businesses?
Well, I don't know. I never heard an estimate of business. It didn't hurt our business any, because we didn't have anything in the basement to put damage.
Mm-hmm.
Set some hardware and we just set that up high. And we took the leather goods and like that and brought it upstairs and dried it out of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some stores that had adjacent pennies, but I don't know what happened to them. But they had a big basement.
Mm-hmm.
But I went up and the underpass. It's full of water.
Wow.
It's solid. It's water. You couldn't go down in there because
mm-hmm.
you'd have to have a ductile to do that. So I was using these two junctions and the one going over First Street up there to get across the railroad tracks.
So how many days did this go on?
It took them about a week to pump that out.
Did it?
Yeah. Had to all be pumped out. The pumps were in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the power was off uptown too. That didn't help me.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine you've seen some other extreme weather conditions in La Grande over the years?
Not many here. I've seen him the year we spent in Union before Dave was born. It was the coldest winter I've seen here.
Was it?
Yeah, the snow got about almost 3 feet deep. And it went 10 below and the wind blew for 10 days straight. Mm. Everything froze. Back in Union, right there, you haven't been over there, but there's a hotel over there, an old hotel. But in the street in front of that hotel, the water main broke 6 feet down, froze and busted. Mm. And that water came up and froze up and froze up and froze up. Pile of dirt and stuff in the middle of the street that high.
Wow.
Froze, come right about. Couldn't do anything to it because it was coming up like a volcano from the bottom. Now, Union had an intake. They took water out of Catherine Creek then. And they filled it into the water system. But their pipes were so old, they had them older. They had older plumbing out in town. They were old wooden pipes like this wrapped in the steel wire around them to hold the old wooden pipes together.
Wow.
But they've replaced them all now.
Now, were the pipes in LeGrand that way as well? The old wooden pipes?
They didn't have wooden pipes here, not that I know of. They had wooden pipes bringing the water down from the intake up on top, but they stopped using that years ago and put in a big 12-inch main.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't use that since I've been here. Those old wooden pipes up there. Some places you can see them if you go up Mill Creek. They may have took them all out by now, I don't know. I don't know anything else has been drastically exciting around here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know one friend out in the valley, he was watching TV, and they was laughing about everybody in the valley was, they were out on the sand ridge, or between here cold.
Uh-huh.
And they still live in the same house, and they was laughing. People was having a bad time in LeGrand. The water was flooding their basements and everything. But if you heard something bump, 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 and downstairs, and the fella opened up his cellar door and looked, and the deep freeze was floating and bumping the floor.
Oh, no. So he thought he had escaped the flooding, but he hadn't.
He was in the basement.
Oh, no.
I mean, he was up high on a sand ridge,
mm-hmm.
you know, between here and cold. But that's how high the water was.
Oh.
That was up over the sand ridge and well over there around a cove where you could look for the river was perhaps a half mile wide, coming around the cove and going around trying to get out to the valley.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Round River used to go to Cove and then back out to the other side of the valley. That's how flat the valley was.
Mm.
And it just come down like that out of line.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall if there were any deaths because of the flood?
No, I don't recall. I don't think there was.
Okay.
I don't think there was any emergencies, or there might have been, but I didn't hear. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Or no one on either.
I would imagine the emergency personnel here were not really equipped for flooding, to handle flooding.
Not that bad. There wasn't too many boats around. People didn't have a boat sitting in every yard.
Mm-hmm.
No. Hmm. Well, there's a few World War II rubber boats that the war surplus was around. They had to rescue people with those.
Was the temperature cold during the flood, or
no,
or it had warmed up quite a bit?
Yeah,
so.
January thaw, you know, it goes up to around 60, 55, 68 degrees. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't have too cold Januarys anymore. It used to be, we never thawed out until April,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but it's not that cold anymore. Mm-hmm. Virginia, since she can remember when there was snow until April. In Union, when she was a kid going to school.
Mm-hmm.
I know the same way in Southern Idaho, that's where I was raised. We'd walk from my ranch, home, 2 miles to school and just drive it back down there on top of snowdrifts and walk right over the top of the fences to school.
Wow.
The roads were all snowed over, and we just go across the road like this and up over and across the next creek, walking to school. I never walked less than 2 miles to school in my life.
Wow.
I went 11 miles for a while to high school. But I was the only
one. I bet that kept you out of trouble.
Yeah. We lived out on a place we called Willow Creek between Boise and then it's called Chaparral Creek now, but anyway, we lived up that creek a couple of miles. I walked from that, walked from home down to this old schoolhouse and catch a bus at the school district. There were 3 of us going to high school. And that lady would drive off from Emmett and pick us up and then take us to high school and then she'd bring us home at night.
Mm-hmm.
And they paid her, I think, $30-$40 a month to drive them up.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't buy the gas now for that.
Yeah.
How long has that been?